Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'm joined today in studio with my two lovely co-hosts, Mike and Lauren. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
Of course. So, when we recorded this episode the first time, I decided to go over Mercury retrograde. As we were talking about it, we realized that there is a commie show had just started next door, and we stopped it, and we tried to start recording again, and apparently that didn't work. So I guess what I'm trying to say is Mercury retrograde, it's real. Some of our listeners might not know what the heck I'm talking about, per usual. So in astrology, we talk about retrograde planets a lot. And what that means is when you look at certain planets as they do their orbit around the sun, they appear to us here on Earth to be going backwards. They're not actually going backwards. It's just a strange phenomenon that we see it that way. In astrology, however, this can cause different shifts. So Mercury retrograde, a lot of you have probably seen it on Facebook or Instagram. It's like really, it's a hip thing. You know what I mean? But what that causes is it causes a lot of technological delays. It causes issues with communication and it causes things from the past to come up again. For example, last night, my computer crashed a bunch of times and I lost a ton of our recordings and our episode came out a few minutes late. I really apologize. I'm so sorry, everyone. But I did get it up and thank you all for listening to it. And so that kind of got continued today with our little recording snafu. Luckily, we found it pretty quick. Another weird thing happened today, which I think is like a quintessential Mercury retrograde phenomena. And that is, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but all the cell phones, for whatever reason, were shooting people texts from Valentine's Day 2019. That's what, like, I want to say 8 months ago? Mm-hmm. So it causes problems for people because unfortunately some people have lost people in their lives since that time and all of a sudden are receiving a crazy text message from them. Or maybe it's an ex you were seeing on Valentine's Day. Maybe it was one person you went out with one time and were totally cool not hearing from them again. And all of a sudden at 3:30 in the morning, you're getting these texts. Like, what is going on? But it turns out this happened to thousands and thousands of people. So I think that, you know, you're hearing from people from the past. Ex relationships are a huge thing that occurs during Mercury retrograde. I thought that was weird. Is anyone else out there having any weird Mercury related issues going on in their life? This time it's in retrograde between October 31st and November 20th. So
that's a pretty long time.
Yeah, usually most planets, when they retrograde, it typically lasts like 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the planet and how far away they are from the sun. Yeah. Cool stuff.
I would like to point out I did not get any texts for Valentine's Day.
No, we have not great service. I mean, Sprint's not good, and Cricket also not great service.
Also, you guys are attached to the hip. How often do you text each other?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so on to what we're talking about today, which is the very spooky and very infamous Route 44. And I would like to give a quick shout out to my coworker, Laura, who suggested this episode to me. And back when Beth and I first started this podcast, one of our listeners also suggested this. And I'm so sorry. I do not, for the life of me, remember who it was exactly. If it was you, feel free to send me a note and I'll shout you out for it because it was a great idea. And I've been wanting to do it for months. And I'm so happy that we finally have the opportunity to do it tonight. Okay, so here we go. Route 44 is an east-west United States highway that runs for 237 miles through 4 states in the northeastern region of the U.S. It runs from Cohocton, New York, in the Hudson Valley region, travels through Connecticut and Rhode Island, and ends in Plymouth, Massachusetts, on the east coast of the state right before you head to Cape Cod. It's right by where Mike and I grew up. As you near the end of Route 44, you will find yourself driving through the small town of Rehoboth, Massachusetts. Rehoboth borders the great state of Rhode Island and has a population of just over 12,000 people. It's home to a whopping 53 historic graveyards. Despite being one of the oldest towns in America, established in 1643, Rehoboth really isn't known for anything at all. Mike, we grew up maybe a half hour from there. You ever been?
Nope.
Know anything about it?
Nope.
Lauren, you're from Massachusetts, the very other side of the state, probably as far away as you can get. But have you ever heard of it? Know anything about it? Ever been there?
No, I have not been through there.
All right.
It's kind of weird. I feel like, you know, being so close, we would have, I don't know, run into somebody from Rehoboth school system or
maybe
heard
it's
of them
time for a field trip.
Maybe. We're pretty close right now. We're only like a half hour away.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely not just a half hour to Rehoboth from here. It's like at least an hour to Rehoboth.
No, you're so wrong.
I just drove here from Weymouth. It was like more than a half hour.
It's right next to Providence, Rhode Island, which is like a half hour from Boston. Yes.
Google map.
Okay, you can Google map it. Yeah, so Rehoboth really isn't known for anything. That is, unless you are a spooky person and do spooky things, or perhaps you've made the mistake of picking up a hitchhiker along this route, which really you shouldn't do. It's 2019. Do you really need someone to tell you not to pick up hitchhikers? Like, that's kind of on you at this point.
No, I'm sorry. It's okay to pick up hitchhikers.
No.
Not with me in the car.
No. And not by yourself either, Mike. Don't pick up a hitchhiker.
It's okay to pick up hitchhikers.
No, it isn't. No, and I'm going to explain why right now. Because if you have the displeasure of picking up a very scary dude on Route 44 in Rehoboth, Massachusetts, then you might find yourself face to face with someone known as the Red-Headed Hitchhiker. Locals to the town, which is not technically located within the constraints of the Bridgewater Triangle, but is very close, it's like two towns over, have been reporting the hitchhiker for decades, with the first accounts coming in from the 1950s. Despite all the years gone by, the description is almost exactly the same. A man wearing a red flannel shirt and dirty jeans, dirty boots. He has long red hair and a big, bushy red beard. But even scarier than his dated wardrobe choices are his dark, empty, soulless eyes.
Ladies, bachelor number one.
While this man was often the talk of the town, the legend of the red-headed hitchhiker of Route 44 was made famous in the year 1994 when anthropologist Charles Turek Robinson published his book, New England Ghost Files, which has since run out of print. But if any of our listeners have a copy of that, I'd love to see it, and I'll definitely return it to you if you remind me to do so. Legend has it travelers down that portion of Route 44 will pick the man up after seeing him wandering down the road. Sometimes with his thumb out for a ride, sometimes not. He'll only get into the back seat, even if there's no one else in the car but the driver. They'll ask where he is headed, but he'll give no response. He'll simply point down the same direction of the road the driver was already headed. After traveling down the road a ways in complete silence, the hitchhiker will suddenly begin to giggle. Those giggles will soon turn into maniacal, uncontrollable laughter that pierces the ears of those in the vehicle. The driver then begins yelling at the man to stop or attempts to pull over and get the man out of the car. And then, in an instant, the red-headed hitchhiker is gone. He simply disappears into thin air, even with the car moving at a pace of about 50 miles per hour. Crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Spooky.
Super spooky. Although, you know, I feel like in the time of Uber, it doesn't feel that weird for a guy to be sitting in your backseat.
Not at all.
And I've never picked up a hitchhiker, so I don't know where they sit. But backseat seems safe. Seems like a safe choice.
I mean,
maybe not a safe choice for the driver, actually,
no.
Now that I think
no.
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you really want somebody, like a stranger, sitting behind you?
But
you
I mean, think so. Of it, too. Uber essentially is hitchhikers just with phones and apps. I mean,
and money.
Not, pay you.
And money, certainly. But
have a working debit card.
You don't know who's getting into your car.
Well, Uber knows who's getting
into your
car. And you're
tracked by GPS.
Yeah.
And they rate people.
Well, yeah. I guess.
Okay. Although the man is gone from the back seat, some claim he still haunts the remainder of their rides. One witness said as he drove down the road, the face of the hitchhiker appeared in the side window of his car, as if he was floating alongside the vehicle as it sped down Route 44. Another claimed that not long after he vanished from her vehicle, the music cut out on the radio, and his crazed laughter began to fill the car once again, this time taunting her by name. There is a more unsettling incident involving a woman who thought she had run him over. The ghost appeared right in front of her car and she had no time to stop. When she thought she had hit him, she stopped the car and got out to investigate. She did this despite the fact that she felt nothing under the car and heard no telltale thuds. When she turned to go back into her car, she suddenly heard disembodied laughter. It didn't stop with her getting back in the car and driving off. Again, her car passed through the ghost. This time, she didn't leave the car. Instead, she stuck her head out of the window and looked at the road ahead of her.
Yeah, that doesn't sound safe. You shouldn't stick your head out the window while you're driving.
Definitely not.
No.
If you think you hit somebody, you should stop and get out to check, because otherwise it's a hit and run. That's really fun. It's not funny. People get hit and runs all the time.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Again, the disembodied laughter echoed, but it was much closer this time. She put her foot to the acceleration pedal after rolling her window up. Ever since, this woman has always been scared of driving alone at night.
Over-exaggeration.
I don't think so. I think that's so. Very fair.
Yeah, it's a traumatic event.
It's very traumatic.
She hit somebody? I mean...
She thinks she did a hit and run, and now she is never going to know if she accidentally, killed some guy on the road and drove off.
Yeah, that's traumatic. I wouldn't want to drive alone at night after that.
So is it traumatic to her because she thinks there's a ghost who might... Like, is she saying she doesn't drive at all during night because of this ghost along this path? Or does she just not drive that path alone at night?
It says she's scared of driving alone at night.
Yeah. It's probably combo
overreaction.
Factors.
Okay, well, hold on. Because let's point one thing out about the three people in the room right now. The first thing, well, just one person, and that's Lauren. And Lauren doesn't actually have a driver's license. And Lauren and Mike are pretty much at the hip. So I don't really know if you're the best person to comment on driving alone at night and running into a ghost and being traumatized. I don't like driving alone at night because I hit a bush one time and it freaked me out. I hate driving at night in the rain now.
Yeah, Lauren, you jump every time we have to stop short or anything, right?
Listen, I jump because you're not the best driver.
Oh, that's bull.
Real quick, Lauren, why haven't you gotten your license yet? Could it be because you're scared of driving?
Yeah, so critical.
It's a test that I'm scared of. Test anxiety.
Okay, so... Let's see, where are we in the notes here? Okay, the most hair-raising account given regarding this ghost comes from a couple whose car broke down on this stretch of road after 10 p.m. The husband told his wife to stay with the car while he moved forward to find a house where he could call AAA to get the tow truck. As he walked down the road, he saw the ghost sitting by the roadside. He had his plaid red shirt and red hair and beard. But his clothing and hair were in disarray. Thinking this was a living man, the husband asked him if he knew where he could find a phone to use. He asked several times, because the only response he got from the ghost was staring and grinning. When the ghost stared and grinned at him, the husband asked if he was all right. At this moment, the husband reported that the ghost's mouth began to twist. The ghost's eyes then glazed over into pure white. As the husband backed off slowly at first, then started to hurry. He heard the man's eerie laughter. When he stopped and turned around, the ghost wasn't there. The laughter lingered, however. It was also spontaneously switched location. One second it was in front of the husband, and the next it was behind him. Then to one side or the other, the disembodied laughter continued to follow him until it stopped suddenly. I would like to make a quick comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
Route 44. For those of you not in Massachusetts, it's a highway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big highway.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long AAA has been around, but I imagine probably within the last 20 years.
Yes.
Yeah, but a lot of highways are outside of their service area. We called them a little while ago, and they were we don't go there.
No, I'm just trying to timestamp this. Because imagine your car breaks down on the highway, right? And you're like, oh, I need to walk somewhere and figure this out. And you just see a man sitting on the side of the highway? I'm not going to talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's been throwing me off about this highway. Because First of all, the idea of pulling over on the side of the highway to pick somebody up, that's super dangerous. So are we going through any areas that are more closer to small towns, smaller roads?
This all happens on the highway.
All happens on the highway.
Yes. And it said the report started happening in the 50s. So that kind of made sense to me because I know my father, when he was in college, he would hitchhike back and forth to UMass from Foxborough, which is actually pretty close to where this was. And he would just be on the highway, you know what I mean, and do it that way. But like recently, like in the last 20 years, I mean...
Well, wait, didn't the guy have to walk to like a gas station to call AAA?
It said they broke down and he started to walk down the road and he saw the ghost on the roadside.
So...
Which would imply the same road.
I'm just wondering, like, does it predate cell phones if he was calling AAA and he had to walk somewhere to get to a phone to call AAA? Or...
That's a good point. Yeah. That is a good point. I don't know. I guess my point is, if you see some dude who doesn't look all that great, maybe don't just walk up to him and be like, hey, you got a phone? Like,
well, back in the day, though, at the same time, I mean, it used to be a different world.
No cell phone, broken down. I mean, you gotta...
Sounds older. Sounds definitely older.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right, back to the story. When the husband returned to the car, he found his wife sobbing. When he asked her what was wrong, she told him that while he was gone, something impossible happened. She was sitting in the car when her husband left and turned the radio on to pass the time. After a few minutes, a voice interrupted the song. She assumed it was the DJ at first, but the voice then addressed the wife by her name, something the DJ would not have been able to do. After this, the ghost then began to mock her and laugh in an unsettling way. The wife got out of the car to escape this, but she was so frightened by what happened, she remained outside of the car until her husband came back. While the couple was able to flag down another driver and get back home, the husband believed this incident made his wife a much more nervous woman.
This definitely sounds older. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see it being a while back, but
I mean, I feel like if you're telling this ghost story and then you end it with like, yeah, now my wife's like super nervous. It's just like a funny way to end it.
Yeah, why would you say that?
It's just a weird way.
Rude.
I saw on two separate sites it said it made a comment that like the wife is now nervous. I don't know. And especially on this part of the stories is that unlike many other hitchhiker ghosts or ladies in white stories, no one has any idea who this man is. Some believe he may be involved in a horrible crash on that stretch of the road or a clip by a car where he was walking alongside of it. He could even be the ghost of someone that predates there even being a road there at all. Some 19th century farmer whose spirit has never been put to rest. Spooky.
Imagine if you were a 19th century farmer, you probably wouldn't hitchhike.
Probably wouldn't be rocking the flannel?
Well, yeah, maybe. You probably wouldn't be hitchhiking very much either, you know, because you wouldn't know what a car was. But you might think it was pretty neat.
You might think it was pretty neat.
Right? That's why I burst out laughing. It's like, hey, I get to ride this car. This is pretty cool. And have these back when I was farming in Rehoboth.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's a weird story. It doesn't really sound like a ghost to me at all. It sounds maybe more like a demonic entity. I don't know. It sounds cliche. It sounds like a cliche ghost, mm-hmm. The maniacal laughter. I find it very interesting. It only seems to communicate with women for the most part. I mean, no, it's both accounts mm-hmm. where it mm-hmm. came through the radio that was dealing with a woman. So I don't know. I don't know what it means. I believe it's a real thing, though, because I know a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah, I could definitely see this being real. You know, actually, a little bit of a story. My mother, myself, and my young cousin, we were on a trip all together, and the van suddenly broke down, just completely broke down. We were very lucky. We were able to pull over to the side of the road before it just gave out completely. And all the lights out, everything out. My mother, she's trying to figure out what's going on with the car. We're sitting there. She's getting her cell phone out. All of a sudden, the lights turn back on in the car. And there's laughter over the radio. And we're sitting there kind of, you know, wetting our pants at that moment because it's nighttime. We've just broken down. We're on the side of the road. And all of this laughter. In our case, it was the radio turning back on and it was the Gorillaz. I don't know the name of that song where they start laughing in the very beginning. But it was, at the very beginning. We got to find a clip of that, throw it in here or something. But it was actually terrifying.
Right.
It was terrifying in that situation. So I got to say, if I did break down on the side of the road and out of nowhere on the radio came laughter, definitely terrifying.
I feel like I got to point out that where we grew up, which was not far from here.
Not at all.
There's a guy who was bright red hair, unkempt, gigantic red beard, wore all red.
His name was Redman.
That was what he was called. But
he was called Redman.
Yeah. He was
from my street, yeah. On the Hanover side, yeah.
But he was a pretty nice guy, but he was always walking around the side of the road all red.
Yes.
Pretty similar to the description of this guy.
Sort of, except for the fact he doesn't wear a flannel and he doesn't disappear when he gets in the car.
Like a red jumpsuit or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he just looks out.
I feel like he was the only guy who was wearing all red all the time around there.
I believe you are getting yourself confused. He was the only red man, but there was also a yellow man.
Well, no. I remember yellow man too, but like there was somebody else who walked along the side of the road in the area. He didn't really hitchhike either. He just by the side of the road.
Yeah, I know. He was a pretty terrible alcoholic.
But all over the different roads.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, you'd be like three towns away and you'd see
Redman.
Yeah, Redman.
I worked at the Hanover Mall for a long time and Redman used to just walk around the mall sometimes.
Yep.
Not talk to anyone.
He was a nice guy. He talked to people.
I don't recall him talking to anyone. I
talked to him a few times.
You would.
Not direct, not like somebody introduced
not
me.
Not directly.
He knew somebody who
someone
was
introduced
with.
You to Redman.
And he was like,
Chuck?
No, Chuck wasn't. This was when we were younger.
Like a child introduced you to him?
Yeah. Like, well, when we were children, who was?
So some child somehow knew Redman, the crazy man who would walk around the streets and introduce you to him.
Lots of people knew him.
This sounds like the most unbelievable thing on this show now.
Well, no, I'm concerned about the welfare of the child who introduced you to him.
People talked to him. He was like a friendly guy. He lived in like his brother's garage or something.
He did, on my street.
Yeah.
But I never talked to him. No. He was on my street's very long, and it was on the other town side of the street. But
I don't know, definitely talked to him like two or three times. But my point is, I feel like there were a lot of people who wore like distinctive red with the red hair. I don't feel like it was just him. I feel like there were other.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The point is, none of these people you've seen wearing red walking on the street disappear and their eyes turn white and then they start laughing maniacally from all different points around you. And then you become a nervous woman.
Right. That's true. They could do the maniacal laughter thing though.
Oh, I'm sure they could. I mean, yeah.
There was some substance abuse going on there.
There's a lot of substance abuse on the South Shore right now, yeah. I just think it's very scary. Spooky.
Yeah. It is spooky.
We're definitely going to have to take a trip at some point and drive down for ourselves, take a look, and see what Route 44 is all about.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh.
Okay, so if anyone out there has ever picked up this guy, wants to let me know, has a first-hand account, that would be great. I got a lot of my information from two websites. One was fun107.com. The other was strangenewengland.com. So yeah, if you want to read more, you can go check out those sites. And now it's time for mail. My first email comes from Tom. Title, You Asked, I'm Answering. Hey, Amelia. Hey. First, I'm sorry that Beth is going on hiatus. I'll miss her voice and dry wit. Second, thanks for reading my encounters on the Halloween show. To answer your questions, the I saw it was in reference to seeing the door move on its own. Up until that point, I had only heard the door creak. No apparition was seen. Boo! And yes, the pulse that I get in my head occasionally was the same in both encounters. I have been ghost hunting in southeastern Pennsylvania area on and off for about 11-ish years or so. Oh, very cool. Very haunted area there. That's neat. I usually just do public areas or friends' houses and or friends of friends' houses and have never had a stable group, so I consider my ghost hunting to be casual. I do have some pretty cool equipment that I've acquired over the years, including a digital voice recorder, K2, ghost meter, a laser contracted thermometer, a probe thermometer taped to a drumstick. I'm a drummer. I feel a cold spot. I stick the probe into the spot. Because my hand isn't touching it, I get an accurate reading. That is very smart and thinking with your head. An older Sony Handycam with night vision. I really need a new one. An IR flashlight that effectively triples the range of IR on the Handycam. An old school digital display EMF detector. Cool. My approach to ghost hunting is that I get all the info and evidence I can and put it into a report to give to the client and let the client decide. I never really say whether a place is haunted or not, just answer the questions directly with what I did or did not experience. Keep up the great work, and I hope you find a good co-host or subs for the time being. My kids love the show too. Happy huntings, Tom. Well, thank you, Tom. Shout out to your kids. Hey, kids. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. And my word, you have a huge amount of ghost hunting equipment. Way more than I have. Oh, that sounds pretty cool, too. Well, good on you, Tom. Thank you so much for writing back in. And we hope to hear more stories in the future, especially from some of your ghost hunts down there in Pennsylvania. Right back in. Okay, so our next message comes from Josh Hate Things on Instagram. Okay, so I'm listening to the new episode and I got chills. I also saw a UFO with my mom. I was only 4 or 5 though, and my mom doesn't remember seeing it. But I remember it vividly. I'll send my story in tomorrow. I also got really creeped out with the Shadow People episode. I've also seen the Hat Man, but didn't know that was a thing. My skin crawled and eyes got watery during that story. Thanks, guys. Well, you are so welcome, Josh. I'm glad we could scare you a little bit. But really, no, please send us those stories. I want to hear it so bad. Why don't we all just get together and do an episode about seeing UFOs with our moms? I mean, we had Josh from Minnesota last week. Now we have Josh, I believe is from California tonight, who's going to send us our story hopefully by next week. And that is great. So thank you so much. Our next message comes from Lauren N. Lace on Instagram. Listening to your Halloween episode, I recently started to learn more about paganism. Norse paganism specifically. I grew up Christian. The traditions that we've gotten from the pagans have been blowing my mind lately. Thank you for sharing. A nurse I work with recommended your podcast. She's gotten many people listening. It's been a topic to discuss in our department lately. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. That was really nice. And I would like to send a very special shout out to Jess, who you work with. Jess, my goodness, thank you for telling people about our show. I really appreciate that. You're awesome, and way to go to all the nurses everywhere for all the really hard work you do and helping people feel safe and better. And as promised from last week, we have another recording from Jen up in Maine. Thank you so much, Jen. And I just looked at my email right before we started recording. I noticed I have some more recordings from Jen, which means, as everyone knows, if you send me enough stuff to get on more than 3 episodes, you get your very own sound clip. And here is Jen's. So we can all look forward to Jen's stories coming up, and here is her story for tonight.
Okay, so this is Jen from Newburyport, Massachusetts. I sent you a different story about a friend's house of mine, High Street in Newburyport. This is my second story about that same house. This was the only other incident that I had there. I think after this incident, I kind of stopped spending the night there. You can imagine why. So, same room. We were upstairs on the 3rd floor in her renovated attic, which was like a den. And there was also an office up there in a separate part across the hallway. Again, I was spending the night there with another friend of mine, and all 3 of us were sleeping on the pull-out sofa together. The sofa was situated right next to the doorway into the room. So it's dark. We're laying there. It's very quiet. I'm still awake. I couldn't fall asleep. But everyone was silent. We weren't talking anymore. And so I hear this sound, and it sounded like someone walking quietly into the room that we were in from the hallway or the office area, into the room, footsteps on carpet, because there was a carpet in there. It was quiet, soft, but footsteps. And it went all the way down the far side of the bed that we were in, around the bottom, and then up my side, and then back down and around and back out. And I heard it, and I laid there for a few minutes after it stopped, and I finally got the courage to say, "Did anybody else hear that?" And my friend said, "Yes." I said, "What did you hear?" And she said, "It sounded like somebody walked around the whole bed and then left." And we flipped out. We just screamed. We turned on the light and we ran as fast as we could out of that room and down the stairs. It was so scary. And for me, it was extra scary because of what I had already seen in my previous story in the office, you know, knowing full well that whatever the entity was likely came from that office again, and that we had to go closer to the office before we could go down the stairs. It was just very scary. And yeah, and I never spent the night there again after that. But so those are my two spooky stories regarding Newburyport, Massachusetts. There's many more. That town has a lot of history. So thank you for listening. And I hope you guys like my story. And again, you guys are wonderful, and I love what you do, and I look forward to listening to more of your podcast. Thank you.
Good story.
Yeah, really good story. Yeah.
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Jen. That was great. And thank you for sending more and more stories. And just a reminder to everyone to get your stories on next week's episode. I need to have them in my inbox by Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you can send me whenever. They'll eventually make it on the show. So, you guys got anything else?
Not really. I feel like that last story was a good one.
Yeah.
Footsteps in a room, and you can't see who's making them or anything. Yeah. This is always a quintessentially spooky event.
Yeah, cool. This episode has been brought to you by Michael trying to sell his car.
Yeah, I've got a blue 2014 Nissan Altima SV. It's got, I think, 82,000 miles on it. And yeah, if anybody's looking for a car, it is running well. It does need an oil change. I'll probably get it done before I sell it, though.
Thank you from our sponsor. As always, thank you to Aaron Schild for writing our music. You can check him out on Instagram at TheAaronSchild. You guys can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginNewEngland, on Instagram at ghosthuntinginNewEngland, on Twitter at ghosthuntingNE. Please follow us on Twitter, because we don't have any followers, and it's really embarrassing for me, and I'd really like to have some more.
So, sorry about that.
Yeah, what the heck, Mike? Follow me on Twitter.
I don't have a Twitter.
Well, make one and follow Ghost Hunting in New England, please. You can also contact us through our website, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, which I'm going to start updating soon. I'll make no promises about when, but I'm going to, and I'm sorry. And yeah, you can also send me an email at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com or a carrier pigeon to beautiful sunny Somerville, Massachusetts, where we record here in the Somerville Media Center. And that's it. Thank you, Mike and Lauren, for coming in and co-hosting tonight. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us.
And as a sneak peek for everyone, Mike and Lauren will be joining us in December when we go over a very, very spooky ghost hunt that we're going to do together.
Yes. Very exciting.
Very exciting. We're not going to tell too much about it, but it is a very haunted graveyard here in Massachusetts, and we are all looking forward to it. Okay, so I guess that's all I have for tonight, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Watch out for Mercury retrograde. It is real. Tip your waitress. And as always, happy hunting.
Is that the guy next door, or what's going on here?
Comedy club.
Oh. That is extremely loud. I mean... Spooky.